Love Talk Radio.
Ready?
Father, we thank you for this first Saturday of the month, Sabbath day, Lord, we celebrate. And, oh God, we come to the table of the bread and the wine that represent your body and your blood. Father, we ask that you would transform this wheat of the field, which represent the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that has been broken for us, and the blood, this wine that represent the blood that has been shed for us. Oh God, we ask your forgiveness, we ask your mercy. Lord, we ask that you cleanse us this morning from all unrighteousness, all unrighteous thoughts, all unrighteous actions, oh God. Father, that as we come to this table, God, we come to this table with a clear and clean heart. That as we partake of this, it will be transformed from the natural to the supernatural to heal our mind, body, and soul. In Jesus' holy name, Paul says in the book of Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take it. This is my body, which is broken on for you. This do ye in remembrance of me." Let us eat together. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. After the same manner, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we will not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together under condemnation. And the rest I will set in order when I come. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word and to this holy commune. Let us all partake of this fruit of the vine, which represents the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You know your way. seek you, Lord. Oh!
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is the first Saturday of the month, and we just finished partaking of Holy Communion, remembering what Jesus has done at the Calvary for us. But we are excited, for truly this is the day that the Lord has made, and we have been rejoicing, praising and exalting and magnifying the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And today, on this first Saturday, we have Evangelist Darlene Campbell out of Mississippi. She will be delivering the message of God to the people of God, glorifying the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, edifying the body of Christ, and terrifying the enemy of Christ, which is the adversary. So without further ado, I just ask the Lord, I know he's already blessed her, but I ask him to bless her again for this morning, for this moment, for this hour and a half, or however long she preached this morning. We pray that God will bless her eyes, bless her ears, and her lips, and her tongue, that she might hear and see and speak that which she says the Lord, that it will be none of her, but all of him. As she decreased, Father, I pray that you would increase and touch the hearts of the many people all over the world that are listening by way of cell phone, a wind-up radio, computer, however system they're listening, touch their hearts and their minds and remove doubt and the critics, Lord, just shut them, their eyes and from hearing, from seeing, and their ears from hearing what they shouldn't be hearing. Because the enemy kind of blocked out the truth, so they hear a lie. But we pray that this morning that the truth would be so strong that it would cut through the thickest wall and the thickest steel to get reach to the hearts and minds of your people this morning. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Come on in, Evangelist Campbell, and allow the Lord Jesus Christ by his Spirit to use you for his glory. Come on in.
Amen, amen, amen. Good morning, good morning, good morning to you
amen.
This morning, Apostle David Calendar, Lady Nancy Calendar, God's Resurrection Power Church in Christ, in Jesus Christ's name this morning. We do give glory and honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this morning, for it is the day the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Hallelujah. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. Psalms 118 says, the Lord is my strength and song, and it's become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord do it valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. God hath not given us over unto death. We're still here. Amen. Hallelujah. Death has been defeated. There is no victory in it, but their victory is in Jesus. And he says, open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord, this gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I thank our Heavenly Father for us this morning. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, oh, how wonderful you are, God. Oh, how wonderful you are. We
yes,
used to
Lord.
Watch
yes.
this show that come on television. My grandparents would watch it religiously in the afternoon, and I think it was Jackie Gleason. He would say, oh, how sweet it is. But I want to tell you something. I don't know what it meant to him in that movie, but I know what it means to me today in my life. Oh, how sweet it is. The word of God is sweet, and we have victory. God has not given us over unto death, but God gave his only begotten son. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, how sweet it is. It is good to be here today, and I'm excited about the word of God in our lives. I'm excited about the word of God in my life today, in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, to each and every one of you that is here with us today. As Apostle has said, whether it be Bill, social media, on the internet, the radio, however you get this word today, get it. Hear it. The word of God teaches us, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord says unto the church. Amen. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you today. We do magnify your name. We do give you the glory. We do give you the honor. We do give you the praise, God. Lord, I thank you right now for our lives. There are many who could not be with us here today, Father, but by whatever reason it is, God. And for those who just don't want to be here, oh God, we thank you for them too, God, that you would touch the hearts and the minds and allow them to know that it is your message, God. That's what is important for the deliverance of their soul, the keeper of their soul, that you are God. Your word is a keeper of the souls, Father. And we want to say thank you right now. We ask you to bless those who are sick and shut in, Father, in the name of Jesus. Bless those who have a desire and a hunger to hear your word but cannot, God. But we pray, God, that they have hid your word in their hearts so that they may not sin against you. So when the time comes, God, and there is no, we cannot get a way out. We seems that we can't find a way of escape. But, God, we know that our way of escape is in you, God, and in your word that you have provided for us. Oh, my God. Lord, I just want to tell you thank you right now. Thank you for the healing. Thank you for miracles. Thank you for your wondrous works and mighty power, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for sweet deliverance. Lord, we thank you for your deliverance, oh God. There are some right now, God, who are incarcerated right now, God, behind bars, but in the mighty name of Jesus, we know that you are there. We don't have to ask you to go there, God, because your spirit is already there, God. All they have to do is call out to your holy and righteous name, and you shall hear them. Father, we say thank you right now in the name of Jesus for their free in their minds, God. They may be behind bars, Lord, physically, but God, in the name of Jesus, touch their hearts, touch their spirits, so let them know that their soul and their mind can be free in you, Jesus. Lord, we say thank you right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, there are those who are not locked up behind bars, Father, but they are captivated. They are trapped in their own minds, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. They have tangled all up in the world, Father, in the name of Jesus. We ask you, God, to provide a way of escape before them. For you said in your word that you will open doors that no man can close, and you will close doors that no man can open. And for that, Father, we believe that victory is in you, Jesus. And for that, Father, we say thank you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. As your word go forth, Father, we know that it shall not return void, but accomplish everything that your word is set out to do. And, Lord, we say thank you right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, and thank God. We give you the glory and honor. I lift my hands to worship, and I bless your holy name. You get the glory, Lord, and honor. I lift my hands in worship, and I bless your holy name. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, we just thank God today for his son, Jesus Christ. We thank him in the mighty name of Jesus for who he is in our lives. I just thank God. And I pray that each and every one of us, in the name of Jesus, that we're walking upright, that we're walking in holiness, in the name of Jesus. Father God, we just thank you today. I'm just thankful. I'm so thankful. And today, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come to you today to talk about holiness and righteousness. Holiness and righteousness. That was a question that came to me. And the question was, How is it that man can be holy? Is not God the only wise and holy God? But the Word of God teaches us in 1 Peter 1:15-17 says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Let us know right there with our mouths, with all of our conversations, no matter how hard. And it is one of the things in my life, oh, my God, in the name of Jesus, that I can't talk about nobody but me to be delivered from was that mouth, that conversation. Sometimes we can get caught up in a conversation and it turns a different, it'll start out right, but it just won't end that way it started. So this Word of God in 1 Peter 1:15-17 says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons, judging according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. And say, whatever you got going on, how about letting that time pass it up in fear? Fear God. Fear God. Too often, too many times, we desire to fear man, but we need to fear God, the author and the finisher of our faith. Being right alone, just being right. There's a difference between holiness and righteousness. And as I was driving down the highway, I was asking the Lord a question. And I was talking to the Lord about holiness and righteousness. And as I was talking to the Father about holiness and righteousness, so many people, day after day, trying their best to do right. We sing this song that says, I just want to be right. But the more and the more I listen to that song, it always talks about being right. Many can live right and do what is right. But being right does not mean being righteous or being holy. You can be right and not be holy, but there's no way to be live holiness and not be righteous. And I said, thank you, Holy Spirit. So here's the scripture. Let's go to Habakkuk 1:13. Habakkuk 1:13 says, your eyes are too pure to approve evil, and you cannot look on wickedness with favor. And then 1 Thessalonians 4 says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. He says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification And your vessel is our body. Our bodies are our vessels. And we have dedicated them to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And many of us have just fallen off because our health is significant. Our health is important. Our vessels that carry this Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the Lord that abides in us. And say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We have to get back to nursing our health so that our physical bodies, these vessels, will carry, continue to carry the word of God. Put away the high blood pressure, the diabetes, the heart disease. All these things will come from us living unhealthy lives. This is a part of what we are, what we are called to holiness and righteousness. Even me, I begin detoxing because I know that I want to be around here a long time. How can I carry the word and you can't hardly walk 10 feet without giving out a breath? We're not honoring God. Well, it says right here. But this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication in your body, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. We have to honor God even with our vessels. Not in the lust of conspicuance. Watch your eyes. Don't let your eyes lust after the flesh. Don't let our eyes lust after things that we should not even be entertaining. Don't look after that food. And listen, thank you, Holy Spirit. Lust is just not after a physical body, okay? There are a lot of things that people lust after. So we want to clear that up, right? I want to clear that right here, right now. It's not in the lust of conspicuous, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. Forewarn you and testify. For God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. Don't commit adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Stay away from the things that will keep you from falling away from the cross, from falling away from grace. Yes, repentance is there. Yes, forgiveness is there. But why must you entertain that path when God have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light? Temptation will forever be here in our lives. But we must learn to bring our eyes under to submission, under to the authority and to the power of the Holy Spirit. It will forever be around you. You will forever be surrounded by it. But you and I are accountable for what we do in our lives. We are accountable for our hearts to God. We're accountable for our living, the way we live to our Heavenly Father. We're accountable for how we speak, how we think. We're accountable for what we drink, what we eat, even what we wear. We are accountable. Because all of this measures up into holiness of our Heavenly Father. And verse 7 in 1 Thessalonians 4 says, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despises not man, but God, who hath given unto us his holy. You know, I right there, that despises, that reminded me of Ananias and Sapphira right there. That just reminded me of them. You see, they had made a vow to do something for the Lord. But even when they made that vow, they thought they was just talking to Peter. They thought they was just talking to the men of God. That's why I'm ever so careful now about pledging and making vows. Because when Ananias and Sapphira, they made that vow unto God, unto holiness, that they made that vow. And when they turned around and they got it, the money, it was in their hands, they decided, oh, wow, look what we was able to get. So we're going to conspire with each other in our hearts. Now they gone bad. And so when they ask us, tell them we got one thing and we're going to keep a portion for ourselves. Do you not know everything that is here? God said everything is yours. And I know I'm going, but I'm going by the Holy Spirit. Remember when the prodigal son went off? I get back to remember when the prodigal son went off? And the older son was upset because when he returned home, how the father greeted him, had a feast for him, gave him the fatted calf, put a ring on his finger, gave him a cloak, and he sat outside brewing. And the father went out and asked him, why are you upset? Why are you upset because your son has returned home? And he told him, you never did anything for me. He said, because everything I have is thine. So here it is, everything that God has is yours. Holiness is yours. Because greater is he that is in you, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So we have to tell ourselves, see you, but I don't see you. But what I do have for you is the word of God. I got to turn away from my wicked and evil ways. I got to stop speaking that's what's not Christ-like. You know, I even, if you dance, I got to dance that is pleasing to God. Not pleasing man in the flesh, tempting in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 7, verse beginning at verse 1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness. Here we go. Again, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. You see what I was saying about Ananias and Sapphira? They were attempting to defraud man, but yet Ananias fell dead. Why? Because he conspired against holiness. He conspired against the Holy Ghost, not man. It was unto God. So when you hear somebody asking you to make a vow, if you know in your heart you can't do it, don't do it. Because you are accountable. We are accountable for the vows and the pledges that we make to the Lord. I made a vow once. And it seemed like at the moment I was fine when I made the vow. And they gave us so long to get it paid. But Lord Jesus, something happened. It seemed like I could never get that vow, that pledge, that vow made. And my baby would sit right next to me in church. I raised my hand. She said, Mom, put your hand down. Don't make that vow. I said, girl, we all right. We got it. She said, Mama, put your hand down. But I done put my hand up by then. Not too long after, everyone going every which way but the right way. But I want to tell y'all something. God used Apostle Calendar. God used the man of God to pray a prayer. And for those who had made pledges and vows, even to God's resurrection, power, church, and Christ, he reclaimed that. He took that on. Under the power and authority of the Holy Ghost. And he asked God to forgive each and every one that had made a vow to pledge and that could not hold up to it. And I began to pray. Tears began to fall down my face. And I began to tell God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. And then I proceeded. And I called that pastor. And I told that pastor to forgive me. Because, see, when Apostle prayed that prayer, didn't nobody know that but God. And where I had made the vow at, it didn't even have anything to do with God's Restoration Power Church in Christ. But God used him to pray that prayer, and even for this church, even for this church that God has placed him over, if you made a pledge or a vow, Lord, forgive them. Bring no harm to them. Let them be free to start over. Whatever hardship they're going through, God, take it away. This was the man of God prayer. And this is what this is saying in 2 Corinthians 7. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you. Huh? Paul is saying, hey, you want to be right, you want to live right, but there's a guideline that you must follow to be holy. There's a guideline that you must follow to be righteous. You can't just be out here in this world living in the kind of way, representing the kingdom of God, representing heaven, representing holiness and righteousness, and not live according to the word of God. He said, great is my boldness of speech towards you. We can't be afraid to speak out to our brothers and sisters in Christ, even those who are not, those who are. We can't be afraid to speak out and speak a word when we know that what they're saying is contrary to the word of God. We got to stand on his word. We got to stand on his promise. Say, great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my glorifying of you. I am filled with cover. I'm glorifying God in everything. In everything I do, I glorify God. In everything we do, we must glorify him. His glory fills the room. His glory fills the room. From glory to glory to glory to glory. Hallelujah. He says, I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulations. Don't spill out. Hold out. Just wait on God. Don't compromise who you are. Don't compromise your holiness and your righteousness. Too often, too many times, people live, they live right. I know people that live right. They do everything they can to help somebody else. But their salvation, they don't have. Holiness, they don't have. So we're going to live all this time. We live. And yet, we will spend eternity somewhere else. I don't want to live every day of my life as in Matthew 7 and 23 says, here we go, Matthew 7, verse 20. Wherefore, by their fruit you shall know them. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then when I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. That would be a hard thing. That would be a hard thing to walk this earth every day. To walk this earth every day thinking that you're doing what's right, but yet you have not received salvation. Everyone can talk a good talk, But are you living the talk that you live? We can proclaim victory and still live a defeated life. If you're going to then live victory, don't speak victory and live defeat. Verse 24 says in Matthew 7, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, meaning it just washed away. All that you have done is in vain. The songwriter wrote, is my living in vain? Is my living in vain? Is my preaching in vain? We don't want all of this to be in vain. If we're going to live holy, then we need to live holy. Holiness is the state of just being holy. You understand? It's a state of being holy. That means you have dedicated and consecrated to God. Everything in your life is sacred and morally and spiritually to holiness. Everything in your life is like Christ. Genesis 15:1 says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. Excuse me. Your reward shall be very great. And then Abram, who asked God, could give him, since Abram still had no children, God promised him an heir and an offspring as numerous as the stars. But Abram said, oh Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliza and Damascus. And Abram said, behold, you have given me no offspring, and the member of my household will be my heir. And the word of the Lord came to him, in 15:6, and he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. God counted it to him righteousness. Righteousness and holiness can be confused. Don't confuse righteousness with holiness. The righteousness of God. Leviticus 11:44 says, for I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am holy. Holy is the way of Christ. To be holy, he does not need to conform to a standard. Let's go to this word right here. Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21 tells us, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. Every man, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. And I look a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteous, but to everyone that is hasty only to want. The getting of treasures by lying tongue is vanity, tossed to and fro of them that seek death. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them, because they refuse to do judgment. The way of a man is forward and strange, But as for the pure, his work is right. You see, I told you earlier, when the Lord showed me there's no way to be holy and not be right. For be ye holy, for I am holy. It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. The soul of the wicked desires evil. His neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. Amen. Amen. Instructed. And when the wise is instructed, he receiving knowledge. He said, when the wise is instructed, he receiving knowledge. And then it goes on to say, in verse 12, the righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked, but God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked. Spiritual discernment. We must use our spiritual discernment when we're walking in the way of Christ. And then he said, whoso stopping his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. Don't neglect who you are in Christ Jesus. Sometimes it feels like it's overwhelming. Sometimes it feels like it's just too much, and we cry out. But he says, I'm with you. I'm with you even until the end. I'm with you. If you just trust me, if you just hold on to my unchanging hand, I am with you. He says, a gift in secret pacifies anger, and a reward in the bosom strong wrath. It is joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. You shall be bought down to poverty. But if you remain holy, with the righteousness of God, none of these things will find you. When you continue to stand on his word, on his promise, verse 19 of 21 Proverbs says, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than in the countenance of an angry woman. There is treasure to be desired, and all in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spinning it up. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness and honor. He said, he that findeth righteousness, huh? He that follow after righteousness, you shall receive life and mercy findeth life, righteousness. A wise man scaleth the city of the mighty and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. Whoso keeping his mouth and his tongue, keeping his soul from trouble. We started out. Remember, we started out with the mouth. He's telling us, keep your conversation pure. Whoso keeping his mouth and his tongue, keeping his soul from troubles, proud and haughty, scorners is his name, who dwelleth in proud wrath. The desire of the sloper killeth him, for his hands refuse labor. He coveted greedily all day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. The righteous giveth and spareth not. The sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind, a false witness, bring you something and don't even want you to have it. I'm just doing it because God know my heart.
God knows my heart, so let me just go on over here and do it. I guess I just don't help. What did it say? It says the sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. How much more when he bringing it with a wicked mind? Your mind ain't right. Your heart ain't right. This is why Jesus said, depart from me. Depart from me, workers of iniquity. I don't even know who you are. Lord, we heal the sick. We lay hands on those. We gave sight to the blind. We fed them when they was hungry. Jesus said, who are you? I don't know you. You did all this stuff for your name's sake. Not for my name's sake. You did it for your name's sake. You did it so your name could be glorified. Not so that the Father in heaven name could be glorified. Not for righteousness, not for holiness, but for your name's sake. You did it for the title. You didn't do it for the honor and the glory of God. You didn't do it for the glory of the kingdom of God. You did it for the honor and the glory of your name so that your title could be increased. A wicked man hardened his face, but as for the upright, he directed his way. There is no wisdom, no understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. The heart is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. God is our strength. It's letting us know that God is our strength. And we must wait on God. We must wait and know who God is. Deuteronomy 32:4, when Moses speaks to God, he says, the rock is perfect. His work is perfect. For all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. He said, righteous and upright is he. Upright who God is. There is none righteous, and that's what that person was asking. But they got it confused. They wanted to know who is there anyone else can be holy. But he said, there is none righteous. Romans 3, if you'll go with me to Romans 3. Amen. So we don't want to get confused. The third chapter of Romans. And let's go down to Romans 3. What advantage them have the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Are we speaking as oracles of God? When God speaks through us, are we speaking what God is telling us to speak? Or do we hear God and speak what we hear God? We hear him, but yet, okay, now, oh, I got it, God. But I ain't gonna tell them folks that. This is what caused Job to get off course, but he had to repent and come back. He didn't want to do it. Jonah. He didn't want to do it. Got Jonah off course. But guess what? He had to repent and come back. And he had to do what God told him to do. He said, for what of some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true. For every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy saying, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commands the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous? Who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. He said, God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abound through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? Huh? And not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that God may come, whose damnation is just. What then are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is no none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Not one. We got to be holy. Only who is holy behaves righteously. Only who is holy behaves righteously. Hebrews 10:38 say, but my righteous one shall live by faith. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul hath no pleasure in him. Righteous refers to the behavior that is consistent with the holiness of the standards of God. Isaiah 5:16, but the Lord of hosts will be exalted in judgment, and the holy God will show himself holy. And the holy God will show himself holy in righteousness. Amen? Only the holy God. If you'll go with me to Acts, the third chapter. Acts the third chapter. And I'll begin reading at the 10th verse. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed in John, all the people ran together unto them on the porch that is called Solomon's Porch, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, you men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? So you see, Peter is letting them know that which they obtained, that which have been empowered, is not by them, but by God. That which is empowered in us is not of us, but it is by God. Peter tells them in verse 13, he says, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the God of our fathers have glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in his presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you deny the Holy One and the just and desire a murderer to be granted unto you and kill the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead. Wherefore, we are witnesses, and his name through faith in the name have made this man strong, whom you see and know you. Yea, the faith which by him have joined him this perfect soundness in the presence of you, confessing Christ, the power of Christ, the wholeness of God. We have to begin to speak out. We got to live this life. You can do what is right and not be holy, but you cannot be holy and not be righteous. The things which are ordinary or uncommon does not mean they are unholy. Conforming to holiness. Amen. Being right alone will not get you into heaven, but being right alone will get you. It will get you a seat in hell. You can just do some things that's right and not be holy, not receive salvation. But he's still going to say, what did he say? Depart from me. I know you not. You mean I can do everything right and still lift up my eyes in hell? Yeah. So many people, often this happens. Let God arise. Let God arise and let the enemy be scattered. Revelations 2 and 9. Revelation 2 and 29, I'm sorry. No, I love Revelations 2. And I'm going to read the first part, and I'm going to go down to the close. And Revelation 2 says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things said he that holdeth the seven stars in the right hand and walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of the place, except thou repent. Verse 29, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shrivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Let us let God arise and let the enemies be scattered. Let God arise in our lives. Let us walk in holiness. Let us walk in the authority of righteousness and be everything that we can be in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Holiness is not a prerequisite for righteousness, but holiness is a requirement for righteousness. You can't say you holy and not be righteous. There's no way you can say you holy and speak evil and do evil and God slanderous and envy and the neighbors. There's no way. You can be holy, but behave morally and still be righteous. That's not holiness. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Holiness required. It's required. It is a requirement of your salvation. Holiness is a requirement. After which, you were endowed with the Holy Ghost. You accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. Then we have a, in my closing, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. And 6, if you'll go with me there. 1 Timothy and 6. First Timothy and 6 says, as men of service, as are under the yoke, count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise, consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing but dotting about questions and strikes a word, whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, evil surmising, perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. He said, take yourself away from it. Perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds. Why you going to argue with somebody that's not holy? He said, remove yourself from it. He said, withdraw. That means remove yourself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we will carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that which be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, withdraw men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of evil, which while with many sorrows. This is what we were talking about. Don't let the temptation, we're here in this land, in this world, there's many temptations, but remove yourself. He said, withdraw yourself from it. Verse 11 says, but thou, O man of God, watch out. Flee these things. Again, he says, flee. Withdraw means take yourself from it. Flee means move yourself from it. O man of God, flee these things. And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Oh, man of God, flee these things. And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in thy sight of God, who quicken all things before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. You all condemned him. You said, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Give us Barabbas, crucify him. Crucify him, they said. But still, on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. He still opened the doors of the church from everlasting to everlasting. They hung him high and they stretched him wide. Woo! They nailed him in his hand. They pierced him in his side. They put a crown of thorns upon his head. They pierced him in his feet. And still from everlasting to everlasting, thou art Christ. Verse 17 says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Do you believe that God wants you to be poor? No, we are children of God. Everything that he has, everything, the cattle is upon the thousand hills, even the hills belong to the Lord. What belongs to him belongs to you. We are his children. They that do good, they that be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babbling and oppositions of science, falsely so-called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. Grace be with all of us that we avoid, as Paul has wrote this letter to Timothy, so that he would know how to walk this walk, how to abstain from the lust of the flesh, how to abstain from the temptations in this world, how to not lose your holiness, how to know that walking in holiness means walking in righteousness. Stay you holy and not be righteous. Just can't. Holiness is of God. So, Lord, I thank you for this word today. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. This is a profound word. And there's a whole lot more with this word. But I must be obedient. I learned how to be obedient. And I just thank God for our confidence that where we are in Christ Jesus. Lord, thank you for our way of life. Thank you for forgiving us. And Lord, I thank you for the grace that abounds with us. In your son Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. The word of God for the people. Amen. Apostle Calendar.
Amen, amen, amen. Evangelist Campbell, thank you so much for that anointed word speaking on holiness and righteousness. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you and praise you right now for this word that you have allowed your servant to release into our hearts, mind, and soul. And Father, we are asking in the precious name of Jesus that you would pour back into her all that she has poured out and some more, that at the next appointed time she would have more than enough to pour into our hearts. We ask for your guidance. We ask that you will continue to be a shield to her life, a protector, a keeper, and a covering of her life, Lord Jesus. For we all are living in perilous times. We pray that those that heard the word today, near and far, would allow this word to germinate in our souls, that we would take a greater stand in the word of God, living according to the instructions that we have been given. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. Bishop, you are there. Bishop. Well, let me say something here that the Lord gave me something this morning when I was just typing this word. Okay.
Praise the Lord God Almighty. All glory and honor belong to the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Greetings, everyone. And thank you for coming to Block Talk Radio today. I'm sorry that I was just a few seconds late. I was right in the middle of some hot water, and I didn't want to spill it on me or nobody else. Praise the Lord God Almighty. Thank you for keeping us safe. Now, for those who have accidents and have slipped away, some prodigal sons and daughters, I'm urging you to please come back home. For those who have never received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I'm urging you to please do that today. No one is promised the next minute, so we must be ready. When we get ready to cross over, we must be ready. Ask God for his forgiveness. You go into the book of Romans. If you don't have a Bible, get a Bible, put it online. You don't have to have a paper Bible. You can go online and do it on your phones. Most people, they have cell phones and computers. If so, go on the line and see how to say the prayer of salvation. It begins in Romans chapter 10, beginning at verses 8 through 9. And the word of God says, verse 8, and what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And you notice it says it's in your mouth, which means you must speak it out, because the enemy cannot read your mind. And you may say, oh, Lord, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I want you to be my Savior. But the enemy can't hear that. We want to put him on notice. Let him know that we are not with him. We are going to live with Christ Jesus for the remainder of our time on this earth. And when we cross over, we will be saved by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you to God for sending your only begotten Son to become the ultimate sacrifice for sins he never committed. But he took it on his shoulders with obedience to you that we might be saved. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your obedience to the Father in heaven. Now, in verse 9, confession is made. And either way you want to say it, you don't have to say it verbatim, like it's in the Bible, but you must have the same meaning. First, you must repent. And repentance is not going back to the way you previously lived. Repent. Okay. Father in heaven, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for our sins and our iniquities. It's not any sin that you have committed, because you can't commit sin. Well, you were made sin to cover us, your unworthy servants. God so loved the world that he sent you to us, Jesus. Now, if you've made this confession and you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, speak it out. You don't have to scream it to the top of your lungs, but you can say it, because the enemy can hear you if you whisper it out. Oh, yeah, he can hear you, but he can't inject thoughts in your mind. He can inject thoughts in your mind, but he can't read your mind. So you have to speak it out loud, as the word says. You've already followed instructions when you speak it out. Word of God. It's instructions that's given to us. Some people say they can't hear the voice of God. But when you read the word, that is the voice of God. Well, at any rate, first thing to do is repent, not turning back to the previous life you have lived. Father, I know I've sinned, and fallen short of your glory. We all do it every day. So we must repeatedly ask God for forgiveness for what we may have done, knowing and unknowing. Hallelujah. That way, you're covered. The Lord knows you mean well. He knows your heart. Now, if you made that confession, as I said, you must repent. And your next step, if you have never been baptized, is to go, as it says in the book of Acts, to be baptized. And in Jesus' mighty name. Now, in the book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning at verse 38, the word of God says, and Peter said to them, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Notice it says, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Hallelujah. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I urge you to do that. Get baptized. If your church that you're in, you like the church, you love the church, you love the people, but they don't baptize in that manner, find a church that will baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the apostles did. Okay. Now, also in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12, it says, nor is there any other name under heaven by which man should be saved other than Jesus Christ. There's none other mentioned. So Jesus is the only way, no matter what these modern-day so-called preachers and these evangelists who think they know everything, and they say, now you don't have to go to Jesus. Yes, you do. Jesus is the way. He is the door, the doorway. The door is the way to get in. Now, he's standing at the door waiting for you receive him, to accept him, and he will receive us all, prodigal sons and daughters, new believers. God bless each and every one of you, and I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you will make this confession on this day and repent. If you are living in a wrong way, if you're living in an adulterous manner or fornicating and living with a girlfriend or a boyfriend, or in some cases, two women, two men, if you're living in that state, don't go back to it, because then your confession is not legal, because you just broke it. But please, read it for yourself. I did not write the Bible. None of us did. But the Bible is true. God's word is true and faithful. God bless each and every one of you, and I hope you pay attention to what's going on weather-wise, earthquakes, tsunamis, tornadoes everywhere in the United States. People in Russia are firing on innocent lives in the Ukraine. They're just killing people unnecessarily. People are being carjacked. An elderly lady was killed a few days ago. She just couldn't get out of her car fast enough. They threw her out. The lady died. Threw her out and took her car, went about 3 or 4 blocks and got out and ran. They killed someone just for the thrill of stealing a car, I guess. I don't know. But it's the enemy. He's always doing something. Rebuke him every time you get a bad thought. And rebuke him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, rebuke this evil spirit in your name, Jesus. God bless each and every one of you. And Apostle Callender, it's back to you, sir.
Thank you so much, Bishop. You sound good today. You sound full of energy. Very energetic. I thank God for you.
Well,
we thank God for the prayer.
Yes, Lord. I had a great thing happen to me this morning. Me and my whole family rose this morning and looked down on the grass, not look up from the roots. So we started off.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, when I got this message and I began to fill this message out, the Lord had me focus on these two words that the evangelist put up there, holiness and righteousness. And the first thing that the Spirit of the Lord spoke to my spirit and said that holiness, righteousness is not a one-day thing. It's an everyday thing. And righteousness just means that you are in right standing with the Lord according to his word. And holiness means that you are obedient to the Lord and to his instructions. And he said that you have to be steadfast. That means that I'm not wavering to the left, to the right. I'm falling in the path that he has laid before me. Because the Bible declares very carefully that he be ye holy, for he is holy. So I got to be what he is. I got to take on his characteristics. I got to talk like him. I got to walk like him. I got to resemble him in everything that I do. And then he says, you have to be obedient. You cannot say you're holy and you are disobedient. You have
to
be obedient. And then he says, now after you saying that you're obedient, you must be proven. How do you prove it? You must become trustworthy. People can trust you. Trustworthy. And then he says, because now, not just your faithfulness, but my faithfulness. Because my faithfulness, his faithfulness is what allowed me to become faithful. Because I'm unfaithful when he's not faithful. But now, because of his faithfulness, I can be forgiven. Ah, my God. And he says, Because that he has forgiven me now, I got to take on that same spirit, be willing to forgive. So I got to have a forgiving spirit. This is all coming out of holiness. And then he said, now you got to extend to everyone, not some, not who you choose to, but you got to extend mercy. He said, now, so you got to be merciful. You got to extend mercy, which is unmerited favor. You got to extend this to those that you don't even think deserve it. The way they talk to you, the way they treat you, the way they borrow your money and don't pay you back, they leave you standing on the side of however they treat you, you still got to extend mercy. And he said, this is where holiness is being seen. He said, holiness is not what I say, but holiness is what I do, what I live. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, honey, I love you so much. Be careful. Mm-hmm. And say, holiness is not what I say. People tell, well, I'm holy. But as you look on them and you examine them with your eyes, even if you're saved or not saved, you can't see something that's different. See, he says you're in this world, but you're not of this world. People must see something different in us. This is how they know that we are really, truly holy. Not because I say I'm holy, I'm a holy man of God. My lifestyle must show who I am. It must be light. That's why Jesus said, your light must shine. Let your light so shine that man would see your good works. Because he know that every one of us have some bad stuff in us that's in an old safe. And we must not allow that safe to be opening. And how the safe opens, man, somebody put us into testing. All of us go through testing to see if you are really of the faith. Ah, my God, my God. Then he said, you got to have some. This is all the words that he dropped in my spirit last night. There's about nine of them. And this word, he said, you got to have some patience.
Hey.
You know, a lot of people say that they are holy, but they don't have no patience.
Mm-hmm.
In the last 7 years, I've developed so much patience. I said about the last 7 years. I was teaching Brother Deacon. I was teaching him, trying to train him. But because he had an impediment, and I knew that I had so much, I was doing so much for the Lord. I was going here preaching, going there preaching. My patience did not allow me to exhume patience for Deacon. But I didn't knock him down. I said, well, Apostle, she was pastor. That's a pastor I need. I know you got patience. You need to take on Deacon for me. Help me out with Deacon. And sure enough, she and Bishop just exude, they release patience to help, because it's not easy teaching someone when you know that the person is not where they should be, and you have to bring them up to the place that they need to be. So she released that, and I was learning from that. I was receiving patience from her. And I thank her all the time for that. See, because we may be some places in our walk of holiness, but there's some places that we are not yet there yet in our holiness. That's why we need to stay on this track every day. We got to stay seeking Him for holiness, for greater holiness, because it's not, like I said, it's not a one-day thing. And He said the last thing you must have, everything that you do, you must be loving.
Love.
Everything that you do, that's the last word He gave me. Everything that you do as an ambassador, as a child of God, oh my God, as a representative for God, you have to show love. You have to be loving. He said, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. You didn't deserve my love. You didn't deserve my kindness. But I extend it to you anyway. So what you got to do now? We got to extend it, not you, but we. Forgive me for saying you. We got to extend love and kindness, regardless if they don't deserve it. Regardless if they don't deserve it.
Amen.
I sent up some message yesterday, and a Christian person sent me a message. I sent a message about President Trump. And the energy that I got from the message, her response to me, you know, she said, I don't follow Trump, you know. And the way she put it back to me is like, don't send me anything about Trump. Because, you know, what happened is with Trump, say he grabbed a woman this and grabbed a woman that. Well, you're looking at one thing, but then you're taking on something that is even worse than what he did. People have to really, if you truly is a Christian, you have to have love, you have to have compassion, you have to have extend mercy, you have to have grace. Hallelujah. You have to be long-suffering. This is all coming out of holiness. You cannot have it without having these things. And then when you say you dislike this man because he talked this kind of way, he wasn't no politician, he still ain't no politician, but he's a man that fighting to bring a change pertaining to holiness, if you see the way he does things and what he's saying. Now, but you go and vote for another system. You go and vote for another system that you say is so great. And God tell you to vote for this system. It's a lie. It's a lie. God will not have you vote for a system that is sanctioning abortion or same-sex marriage. God will not do that. God is not going to have his children be in agreement with sin. He will not do it. So I said, okay, I'm not going to be argumentative with this person. I extend love. I just ain't going to send you no post, because I'm not going to fight for you to get what I'm giving you. You don't want it, because I want you to see through God's eyes, not through David Callen's eyes, because I don't have a heaven or hell to send nobody. I just know that I know how God speaks, and God speaks through his word. If God used somebody that is a sinner, He's not going to use them to sin. Believe what I'm telling you. If God used someone that's a sinner, what that sinner going to be doing, and don't even know they're doing that, they're going to be doing something that's righteous. unaware, unaware. When God used Cyrus in the book of Daniel, I think it's Cyrus, he was a downright sinner, downright sinner. But God used him to rescue Israel. You see what I'm saying? God is not going to use no sinner man or sinner woman to commit sin because he can't do it. It would be out of his perimeter. But I thank God for this word. It's just a blessed word. It's just a holy word. I'm telling you something, people of God, before politics going to get real rough and the world going to get rougher. But stay connected to Jesus. Stay, hold on to Jesus. Don't fight against your brother or your sister. Open your eyes. Your brother may be seeing something or your sister may be seeing something that you don't see. I know that people here on this line see stuff that I don't see. And I'm so grateful that I'm connected to you all because when I see what you're seeing, it takes me, elevates me to another place in him. Hallelujah, glory. Because I tell Apostle Washington, I don't have it all. I know a lot. And I'm getting to get a lot more from the Lord, but I don't know it all. Every day he's teaching me something. Even through my brother Deacon. Brother Deacon teach me a lot of stuff. And one of the things that he taught me when he first come on the line, even when he couldn't talk well, people was talking about him, but he was still praying for them. I said, wow. I mean, just bless me. You may not see that, but that little thing he did was bless me. He was still praying for those folks that was calling all kinds of names that was not in the book. He was still praying for them. He was still praying. It was messing them up, though. It was getting them upset. Messing with his spirit. But he was still praying for them. It was hurting them real bad. But he was still praying for them. He wasn't cussing them out. He wasn't praying for God to shut them down. He was praying for God to bless them people. And that's what we got to do. This is when you know that you are in the realm of holiness. This is when you know that you are in right standing with the Lord God Almighty. Because even though folk come against you, you're still blessing them. You're still praying for them. Jesus told us that in the Beatitudes. He told you in the Beatitudes. You got to pray for them. You got to bless them. Don't curse them. So I thank you so much, Evangelist Campbell, for releasing such a profound, anointed word. I tell you, all you ladies that come on here and preach, you always preach the truth. You preach the sound doctrine. Sound doctrine makes sound people. So thank you so much. Bless you so much. I'm going to shut my mouth because you already preached. The line is open. The line is open.
Good morning, Apostle. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Evangelist Campbell.
Good morning.
Can you hear me, Apostle? Good morning.
Good
I'm
morning,
so
Evangelist. Good morning. Good morning, Minister Bartmus. Good morning.
Amen. Evangelist Campbell, I'm so happy to hear you on the line and hear your voice. And, you know, I always love when you start singing. I'm like, oh, Lord, thank you. I heard the message. And, you know, as Apostle said, the word was powerful. You filled it with so much in there. And I just want to thank God for you for doing this. And, you know, even as Apostle, you said a lot on the wholeness and you really, like, expound on it. And, you know, one thing you said, and as Evangelist Campbell is releasing the word, and she's talking about holiness, I felt in my spirit, it's not just one time. It's an everyday walk. Even the holiness and even the righteousness, everything that we are doing and everything that we should do. And you use the word just now, ambassadors. You know, we are supposed to be Christ-like and we are supposed to embody the characteristics of God, characteristics of Jesus. And in order for us, if he said, you know, we are holy because he's holy, we have to carry ourselves and only God can give us that confirmation that we are walking in his walk. You know, and many people use the word, oh, I'm a holy woman. Oh, I'm a holy man. You know, I'm righteous. I'm this. And, you know, we could all say that to ourselves and to everyone, but only God really knows. And like you said, when we are doing all that God is asking us to do and when we are living for him and not for man and not for self or anything else, it will be seen. People will be able to see God in us. And be able to say, you know what, this woman is really a good woman, a holy woman. This woman is really living her life for God. This man is really living his life for God. And we will be able to continue to do it. And God will continue to help us to live that life. And every time we fall off or we go wrong, because no one can stay, no one is 100%. You know, we try. That's why it's an everyday walk. There's some days you will get up and, you know, something will happen that upsets you, but God will set us back on the right path. And before we could even sin or do something outside of his line, he will bring it to our spirits and we will hear it played out in our ears. I don't know if that happens to y'all, but it does to me. And I'm learning, like you're talking about patience, I'm learning that every single day. That when the enemy comes or try to use my daughter or try to use this one or that one or whatever around me, I'm able to see it play out before I actually react to it. So I thank God for this word. I know it's a powerful and blessed word. And Evangelist Campbell, I'm glad that you're on the line. I miss you, and I hope all is well in Jesus' name. Amen.
The line is back open to Apostle or Evangelist Campbell, or the line is open to anyone else that would like to make a comment or give a testimony. Amen.
Thank you so much, Mr. Beltmos, for that respond. Yeah, Evangelist Campbell is still on the line. She may be doing something, I don't know, but the line is open. And glory to God, you know, you don't hear. I tell you one thing for sure. When you come on Blog Talk Radio, you're going to hear holiness. I don't care how we do it, whatever we preach, if Apostle Washington, Bishop Washington, it doesn't matter how we preach. It's always going to end up talking about holiness, righteousness. Doing the things that please God. Not saying that we are perfect. That's not what we are saying, because no one on earth is perfect, not one person. But we are striving for perfection. The Bible said that he's perfecting us. You know, each day he is making us a little better than yesterday. We are getting a clearer understanding than we had yesterday. You know, so it's an everyday walk. We're only going to be truly perfect or perfected when we meet Jesus. You understand? Because in order to be perfected, you got to get rid of, completely dismantle this earthly temple, this earthly house that we're in. You understand? You cannot be perfect in this body. Paul even tells us, no good thing dwells in this body. So how can you be perfect if you got a body that is all messed up, jacked up? You understand what I'm saying? You have to get your heavenly body, that glorified body. And then your spirit, is transforming, but it will be fully transformed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now you'll have this glorified temple now for the spirit to dwell in. And then you'll be walking in the perfection of God, who God is. When you get to see him, and he totally give you that transformed body, renewed body, and everything renewed. So we thank God. We just bless God. I love holiness. That's all I can tell. I just love it, and I pray that the Lord continue to change me each day that he continue to change me. The line is open. Come on in, Apostle. I hear you.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
That's it. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah.
Yes. Greetings to everyone on the line. It's so great to hear your beautiful voices. So good to be in fellowship, in good fellowship. Amen. Apostle, thank you. Thank you for being our friend, for being our brother, and for being a man of God, mainly a man of God, and for the love that you extend to all of us. We thank you so much for your kindness and just so thoughtful. We thank God for you, Apostle. We thank God for you, Minister Darlene. We thank God for you. It was so good to hear your voice this morning, and what a wonderful delivery. I love that delivery. It was wonderful. Of course, the word is wonderful, but the way you delivered it, and with all of the scriptures that you brought, we thank God for that. We thank God for how powerful this word is. It always is. And we thank God that you were talking about holiness, because without holiness, no one will see God. And I want to see him. I want to see him. Amen. I want to see my relatives and all of the people that I know that passed, but I want to see Jesus. Amen. Yeah. In order to receive of the inheritance that we have that's waiting for us on the other side in this new earth that we will have to live in, we have to know Jesus. We have to have that patience and wait on God. And so I thank you for talking about holiness, because, again, only God can keep us holy. We have to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit to keep us holy. We cannot do it on our own because, as Apostle said, we're dealing with the flesh. And the flesh has no good thing that it wants to do. The flesh wants to do everything opposite of good. And so we need the Holy Spirit to help us to stay on track, stay on the righteous path. And when we know that we're serving God, we know that we can be all we can be in Jesus Christ. So thank you so much. I especially like the fact that when we know that Jesus said, and you brought that scripture out, Jesus said that I don't know you, meaning that, you explained it, I never knew you, because they didn't have a relationship with God. And we need to develop that relationship, and you brought that out so beautifully in the sermon. We have to have a relationship with Jesus, like a love relationship. And, and just pour out our love on him, pour out our everything on Jesus, because he is our everything, and we need him. We need him to walk this holy life. Glory be to God. Can't do it on your own. And I heard you say we can do good things. I heard you say that. That was such a wonderful point right there. We can do good things and still not be holy.
Amen.
Kind and thoughtful and still not be holy. I'm glad you brought that out, because some folks think that it's what I do that's going to get me. No, it's the relationship that we have with Jesus is what's going to happen. Yeah, we could, some people can keep all the laws. You're not a murderer. All the 10 laws, we can keep that. We can do the 10 commandments, basically. But if we don't know Jesus, you cannot be a murderer, not be a thief, and don't do all those things. You're not an adulterer. You're not a fornicator, et cetera. If we don't have a relationship with Jesus, it's not going to do any good. You got to obey the laws, but at the same time, you got to develop that relationship with Jesus. So I'm glad you brought that out. It takes relationship. I could know somebody's name. I can be in their company from time to time, but in order for me to get to know them, I got to spend some time to develop a friendship, develop that relationship. So it takes time and patience, like Apostle said. It takes very much a person being patient in order for us to be able to grow in the Lord. And I heard growth. We got to grow. No, we're not going to ever be perfect, but you know what I said? It is well with my soul. When I'm serving the Lord, it is well with my soul. Yeah, the flesh doesn't want to do good, but Jesus got my soul. Amen. And it is well with my soul. And when you can say that and truly say that and know it for sure, then you're on your way to that new place that God will have for us in our new earth. Amen. We're on our way. We're doing what's right. God said, do what's right and do what's just. And that is following him. Following Jesus. When Jesus told the disciples, follow me, follow my ways, follow in the ways that I do things. Glory be to God. Look up to me. If you got a problem, look up to God. He's there with everything. Whatever you're planning, we got to go to God. Have that relationship. And that's what I was hearing, woman of God. And I thank you so much, Andera. Minister Andera, it's good to hear your voice this morning. I usually be trying to get some rest on Saturday. Oh, I have to wake myself up. I said, I cannot keep missing Saturday service. So I woke up, and the Lord gave me some energy this morning. I don't seem sleepy anymore. Glory to God. So So, you know, when you put your mind on God and ask God to help me, God, to be where I need to be, when I need to be there, and do what I need to do. That's walking in holiness, following our assignment. We're supposed to know our assignment. That's another thing. When you know your assignment and you know that we got to do certain things, we ought to follow through. Glory be to God. Following through is having a relationship with Jesus. He said, follow me. Follow me. Follow me in everything I do, because everything he did was in righteousness. Everything he did was in righteousness and holiness, because he's a holy God. And we can't be in anything other than doing what's holy. And it's always going to be well with our soul when we do what is holy and spend time with the Father, waiting on God. Amen? Waiting in that waiting room, taking time, talking to our Father like he's right here, because he is in us. And we talk with him. We walk with him. Glory be to God. And we have talks, you know, we have talks with him. Sometimes not even verbally, but we're thinking about him. And we're talking to him in our mind, you know, and that's called a relationship, because he's our friend. We can tell him anything. He'll keep the information we give to him. We can't trust everybody with everything, but we can trust God with everything, because he knows everything and he knows where we are. So I'm not going to be long. I thank you. Thank you so much. I enjoyed the word. I truly did. And God bless you, woman of God. And thank you for coming on to share with us, to break bread with us in Jesus Christ's name. Thank you to all of you. God bless you all. And I love you all. Have a wonderful, blessed day. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. Thank you so much, Apostle. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, sir. You're so welcome, my brother.
We'll let you all know we will. Blog Talk Radio will be missing a Sunday. And we will be out tomorrow, because we will be fellowshipping with Minister Butmos. She will be bringing the word on tomorrow at her church.
What is that?
A fellowship. So we are going to go to support her. Because, you know, if I get to preach at any building, in any building, she always will come to support me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we're going to go and support her. And we're just grateful. The Lord is going to use her in a tremendous way. As the Lord take over her lips, the Spirit take over her lips and her tongue. She was recognized that the Spirit is in control, because,
amen,
as I say, she is not the preacher. I am not the preacher. He is the preacher. You know, when we submit to him, he begins to do what only he can do.
Mm-hmm.
He searches the hearts and minds of the people, and he gives them what they need to take them through the day. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
But it starts with us submitting to him. That's where it starts from, me submitting to him. Glory to God. I am just excited about the word and about living in this life, this time that I'm living in, and feeling the presence of the Lord. You know, I don't know about you all, but I can just relax and just think about the Lord. And the Lord will allow me to see something or hear something, and I will start weeping. Yesterday evening, I was in the living room, and I was watching an African movie on my phone. It's called The Battleground. There's a lot of different, it's a series, you know, they got different parts coming. And there was a city in Nigeria, part of Nigeria. You call it a parish or so. And the devil had taken over that city. And you couldn't build no church. People couldn't live in that city, could walk through it, but they couldn't live in it. And if the people got married in the city, in that city, their marriage would not last. And the women wouldn't give birth, because the devil was in control of that city. And every pastor that come in that city were killed. But this particular pastor had an assignment, was on an assignment from the Lord. And these women met him on the path to the city. He's walking through this crevice. And they said, you can't go in that city. Every pastor that come in that city, the devil kill him. He said, the devil kill him. He said, well, the devil going to meet his match today because I am from the Lord and the Lord is with me. Well, he went in there and the pastor is calling him, he's a youth pastor. But I tell you, Pastor, this man has not opened the Bible yet. As long as we were on this blog talk ready today, he was pulling scriptures out of his belly. He haven't opened the Bible. And they show you this, that, you know, to make this seem like the devil showed up. This like a flash of lightning, this devil showed up. And all of these demons was coming after him, like four demons was coming after him, all these four people that representing the devil, like the devil ambassadors. And he's here by himself. He got no backing but the Holy Spirit. And all he do is quoting the word. And the devil start quoting the word, misquoting the word. You know how the devil does. And he's quoting that word. But when he began to plead the blood of Jesus and so on, and this and what Jesus did, he started talking about the cross and all that stuff, and no weapons form against us. And now he's talking about the flood, and about the Lord lifted up a standard. And he said the devil's going to come in one way, and they're going to play seven ways. He was quoted all because he was from Romans everywhere through the book, from Genesis to Revelation. Well, when he did get to the blood, them devils just fall up. I started weeping. I was sitting in the chair. I started weeping there. I said, Lord, this is what the Lord wants from the church. For the church to operate in power, not in emotions, not just in words, but in power. I said, this is what the Lord requires from his church. And then I begin to hear the Lord speak to my spirit. He said, the reason why the church is not exuding this word, this power, is not flowing from the church is because the church is compromising. He said, the church is in a compromising state. We are not doing it because we representing God. We are not doing it because we want to see souls saved. You see, like a message like we preach today on this blog talk, a message that we preach every day on blog talk. If the church would endeavor to preach and teach like this, you would see the power of God begin to manifest in the church. And not only preach and teach like this, but if the church begin to live like this, because it's more than just preaching and teaching. The church now got to begin to live like this. The church has to get into a place to be content in whatever state we are in. I don't have to have a Rolls Royce. I don't have to have a Mercedes Benz. If I lose my Cadillac, it's okay, because I know the same God that gave me that one, he'll give me another one. So my mind is not bent on that. My mind is bent on delivering the message that God said to deliver. And living it, because once I deliver it, I don't want to leave the altar, leave the sanctuary, and go somewhere else. See, because I always said my heart is the sanctuary of God. And in order for God to live on that sanctuary, that I have to live a certain way. In order for him to come on the pulpit, the altar of my heart, understand? I have to live a certain way. This is how the power is going to flow through us, how the church is going to begin to redeem the time. But we're not redeeming the time. We say, oh, my Lord, I'm just going to preach because I want to make sure these people realize that I'm a preacher. I want to preach so good today because I want them to see that I am a preacher. No. I want them to see God in me. I want the message to come out of me so much that the light of God begin to shine through me. And people say, can come to the altar. Yes, I've been messing up. And I woman of God, man of God, I heard the voice of God speaking through you. And I'm convicted that I have not been living right. You understand? That's what we got to do. And then the power flow through us. People will want to get saved. People will want to get saved. But today with the church, most, not all of them, but most of the churches is set up in a way That's all about how much tithes we got coming in, how much offering we got coming in. And if they ain't got it right, they're going, the weather going to break soon, so they're going to have some hot dogs, they're going to have hamburgers, chicken legs, barbecue spear ribs, all that stuff going to be on the grill, making, trying to raise money. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. Glory to God. You don't have to do that. If you take, if you live the gospel, the Bible says he'll make crooked places straight. That's what he says. He said he'll make crooked places straight. He said he'll cause men to give into your bosom. Hallelujah. You live, all you got to do is live the gospel. Live the gospel. Yes, it's good to preach the gospel, but we want to live the gospel. You know them apostles that we preach about all the time? Oh, they wasn't poor. Go back and study the apostles. Before, even before there was apostles, look, you see that they, all of them had businesses. All of them had businesses. Tax collectors, fishermen, they had vineyards, they had tent business, making shoes, all that stuff. They had business. And the Bible said they sell everything they had and give to whoever had need of, from the least to the greatest. Why? Because they realized that they were already rich. They were rich on the inside. See, holiness is not an external thing. Should we dress up? I put on a priest collar like I go tomorrow. I put on a nice suit. I might put my cross on around my neck. All depends on what the Holy Spirit says. But it's more than that. It's more than having the cross around my neck and having the priest collar on. It's known that when I stop, and if I stop to get some chewing gum, I'll get a soda or something on my way to the building. That when somebody coming there, they may be strapped with a 9mm on their side. But when they see me, there's something about me that make them think different, that they don't want to commit a crime in that store because the presence of the Lord is resting upon me. You understand? Because I'm walking it, I'm living it. This is what we got to do. We got to get to that place. All of us, that should be our greatest desire, to live the gospel so that God will be glorified, the body will be edified, and the devil will be terrified. Every time the devil see you, he get mad. Every time one of his agents see you, he get mad. Do you remember when Jesus got on that boat, and he got that boat, and that demon, which was that man that lived in the graveyard, saw Jesus, the first thing he did was bow. That's the first thing he do. He bowed to God, giving him honor. Ask him, do you come to torment us before our time? He's talking about all the demons that was inside of him. Do you come to torment us? The demon was talking before our time. See, when the demons see you, if you're walking up right before God like you're talking about today, we talking about today, holiness and righteousness, if we walking in this stuff, not just talking it, we not preaching Hebrew and Greek and Latin and all that stuff, and we exercising and all that stuff. We're not doing all that stuff to sound eloquent, but the lifestyle that we're living. One man sing the song, let your lifestyle preach for you. Let it speak for you. Let it speak. That is your ministry. People say, because, you know, everybody's calling me to preach. Everybody want me to preach. Everybody want me to come to this country, this nation, this continent to preach. And you push your chest because you think that you just arrived. We think we arrived. No, God said, no. It's not about that. Can they see me in you? That's what God is saying. Can they see me in you? Can they see God in us? If they can't see God in us, let's stay home. Stay home. Don't go nowhere. Because you might lose your life. You might lose your life. But if they can see God in us, guess what? They know you got the power. They know we're carrying the power. He's on the inside. That's what the preacher told the people, told the demons. He said, look, greater is he that's in me than he that's in you. He said, everything you bring against me, I condemn right now. Everything you come and bring against me, I condemn. It shall not prosper. We got to get to that place. That should be our focus, our main objective, to declare that Jesus is Lord in us and not just say it, but live it. Why you see so many preachers falling? They don't like us to talk on, but people come on Blog Talk Radio to get Max, and we talk about that. Why do you think so many preachers are talking, falling? Jesus even tell you in the book of Matthew, many going to come in his name, false prophets and false Christ. He said, don't follow them. So how are you going to know there's false prophets or false Christ if you don't have the Spirit of Christ? Because the Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of discernment. Then you got the Spirit of Christ, you have the Spirit of discernment. You can see, you can hear spiritual things. And then all those things will be exposed because God will give you what you need to say to expose those things that are not like him, not of him. And this is what holiness is all about. We can't be holy and then we go to the shack up. We can't be holiness and then we go up and have a drink, have a smoke, and say, but God knows. I think the woman of God says something like that. God knows. God knows everything. God knows best. He knows I was going to mess up. No. He know you would have messed up if you didn't have the Spirit. But if you have your Spirit, God don't expect you to mess up. He don't expect you to mess up. We mess up until we get his Spirit. When we get his Spirit, guess what happens? That Spirit is our convictor. That's what Jesus said. He told the disciples, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to leave you helpless. He said, look, when I go, I'm going to send you some help. Because I know if I leave you the way you are, you're flesh and blood. He said, your flesh going to tell you to do this and do that. People mind for 50, 20, 30, 40 years and still mess up. I'm telling you. You see how many marriages divorcing? People are married for 18 months, 2 months, 2 years, three months in a divorce. They say, I do, I will. Then they end up saying, I don't, I won't. Because that flesh is talking. They're not willing to allow God to work it out. But they say they're saved and sanctified. When you're saved and sanctified, you're full of holiness. You got the holiness of God living on the inside of you, because that's holiness, the Holy Spirit. You allow him to lead you and guide you and allow him to work through you, to help you, help us in every areas of our lives, helps us. See, my wife's just going up. She's just going up to fix her fingernails. And I bless her before she go. I had a crack it up yesterday. She's going to be 71 years old. And I said, why don't she down there? I said, you know, your birthday going to be in a few days. So I said, you're going to be 66, aren't you? So she looked at me. No, I'm going to be 71. I said, girl, you don't look no 71 at all. I said, you really do look like 66. I was, the Lord told me that. She was just a cracking up, just a bludgeon all of me, you know. I see you look like 66, though. You know. This is what God is about, man. You got to know how to make him feel good. You got to know how to make her feel good. You know, just little things that you say and do would make your marriage just glow, 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 glow. It's not all about sex. It's not all about food. But it's about building that spirit together, becoming one in Christ, becoming one in him. You know, and when you become one with your partner, there's no devil in hell can win. I'm telling you. He going to try, though. He going to test you. But no devil in hell can win when you become one with him. When you become one with Christ and you become one with your partner. Because, see, Christ got to be the center of your marriage at all times. I call him the plus sign. He got to be the plus sign that holds you together. Some people call him the glue, but he's not glue. He's got to be the plus sign that holds you together. Everything that you're dealing with, you take it to him. You don't deal with it. I get upset sometimes. I say, honey, I say, Lord, I just thank you for my wife. I just thank you for my baby. Lord, I know I'm not perfect. I know I mess up sometimes. I said, but Lord, forgive me. And I might say something, I don't ever get mad at her and angry with her, but sometimes I don't do what I got to do, should do. You know, I say something. Like now, you know, I got some stuff that I'm marinating now to cook. But suppose I said, well, I'm relaxing. I don't feel like cooking. Now, she would get irritable like that. I said, well, I know why you're leaning down. get up. I said, honey, I'm going to get up when the spirit tells me get up. So I shouldn't have said that. I'm just telling you the truth. I should have said, okay, honey, I'm going to get up right now. But I said, I'm going to get up when the spirit, I just know how I do. I said, I'm going to get up when the spirit tells me to get up. But I'm not just going to get up because you said get up. You know, like that. So that's when I get on the nerves. I get on the nerves, and I got to apologize for that. We all do stuff like that. But I just shoot preacher like a flower all the time. You know, but just those little knick and knack stuff I do from time to time. And I have to go back in. Because I don't like going in the doghouse. I don't know about you, but I don't like the doghouse. And, you know, I try to stay with that doghouse. So I keep things flowing smooth with the help of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, when you seek God for your wisdom and for your words, you will not go around. I'm telling you something. Sometimes your flesh will get up. I mean, this is for you all that are married and for you all that may get married soon. It's time that your flesh want to make you say stuff. Because, you know, that flesh, the thought for your body comes out your flesh. That's where it comes from. And you want to say something. But why you don't call me, especially if your boyfriend or fiance is in a different country or a different nation or continent? Why you don't call me? I was waiting for your call at 6, 4 o'clock. Hey, it's 10 o'clock tonight. What you been doing? No. Don't go there. If your flesh is making you go there, say, Lord, just keep me quiet for a little bit. Spend some time with the Lord before you call your boyfriend or call your girlfriend or call your husband or your wife. Spend some time with the Lord and allow the Lord to crack down your spirit. You will learn that you don't have to call her every 5 minutes. You don't got to call him every 5 minutes. Where you are? What you doing? What you doing? I maybe go to get a nails fixed or go to hairdresser. Or if you're going to a mother, man, I don't call or text her. Where you are? Where you doing? How come I hear from you? Not that stuff. I'm so grateful to be with the Lord by myself. Apostle, I'm so grateful to be having that spirit time, private time, me and the Lord. I'm so glad. And the Lord, I just thank you. Now I can just relax and talk to him and just be in his presence and listen to him talk back to me and give me assignments. Man, that's what it's all about. And your marriage will grow so strong. Your relationship will grow so strong, not only with your husband, with your wife, with your boyfriend, your fiance, but it would also go strong with God. That's how your relationship would get strong, because you're allowing him to teach you, to lead you, to guide you. You allow him to take over your will. See, hard thing for us as believers of anybody is to turn your will over to someone else, especially someone you have not even ever seen. You say, well, I ain't turning my will over. And that's the best thing you could ever do in your life, is give your will over to God. Now, when you give your will over to God, it means that you have to be completely steadfast. You don't move until he say move. You listen to him and you follow the instructions just like Ezekiel did. If God say go out, you go out. If he says stay in, you stay in. Even though you say, well, I got to go get a gallon of milk from the store. I'm not going to have no milk for tea tomorrow. God said, don't go. Drink the tea plain. You might read the news, hear the news on the TV. You know that store you was going to? There was a robbery at that store. There was a shooting. There was a stabbing. Then you'll begin to glorify God. Yes, I remember God say, don't go. And I stayed home. I've experienced that several times. I've been in a bad accident when the Lord told me don't go one way, and I went that way. They had to be taken to the hospital. I'm not, luckily, I didn't break any bones or anything, but it was just a shake-up in my flesh and in my spirit. And God reminded me, even with this accident I just had the other day, with that door fly open and knock off the mirror off the car, he didn't release me to go nowhere. And I should have stayed home. And I had to pay the price. But then I had to go back and repent, ask God forgiveness. You know? Anyway, I'm talking a lot. The line is open. Anybody want to say something? If not, we're going to ask you, Vandis, to come on in and pray us out. And we'll see you all later. Tonight, don't forget, Deacon Fred is on. Tonight, we were on with him last night for a little bit. Apostle shared a word and Mother Grant, she read some scripture that she always does. It was very powerful last night. And Deacon, you know, he prayed for everybody as he always do. So we are grateful, and I prayed for Apostle. So we just thank God. We just thank God for that. God is this goodness up and strengthening us together. He's gelling us together as we become one, more and more like him. We become more and more one. Hallelujah. So the line is open. If nobody's want to share, Apostle or Evangelist or Minister, somebody come on in and pray us out. Anybody.
It wasn't open here.
It wasn't. Yeah, Prophet, I got it. Oh my goodness, my goodness, my goodness.
Thank you.
Lord, help us, Lord. Yeah, how about her selling time, right? Oh, she did an excellent job.
God bless you. Thank you. I'm in the office, so thank you so much. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Honey, let me your glasses, please. Let me your glasses for a few seconds.
Sure.
All right. Okay. All right, Apostle. The Lord leads me right here to the scripture. Okay. We will see you all tomorrow, hopefully. And later on tonight, you can know Deacon Frazier's line. Hopefully that everyone who's on Blog Talk Radio will come and support the deacon on his line on tonight. Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless in the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Bishop. Thank you all. Thank you for the word, and thank everyone that shared. I love you all so much, but remember, God loves you more. Have a blessed evening. Let us go on, like Bishop said. Step by Brother Deacon and encourage him a little bit, okay? God bless you all. Minister Butmus, I'll see you tomorrow. God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless you.
I still got to get adjusted.
You guys do a great job like you always do because you've got the Lord flowing through you all the
Hallelujah.
Time.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
We got to get adjusted to the new name.
So we can hear it, okay?
Amen.
Amen.
I didn't hear you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God bless you all.
All right, go bye. Bye-bye.